Powerful at Work Radio, episode 61.
Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who want to lead from a place of love and create a whole new kind of business environment. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and together we'll explore how you can secure your legacy and make a real difference by having a relationship with your team that honors the unique value each person brings to your organization. It is my goal to help you find your leadership sweet spot so your team is empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. I hope these conversations will inspire you to embrace a people-first approach, shift your mindset, and step into a healthy relationship with your team. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement.
Lee is the CEO of Blueprint X, responsible for their strategic growth. He specializes in straight-talking consultancy for C-level at some of the largest organizations in the world. Lee was a professional footballer with Wigan Athletic FC before turning to the world of business. As a seasoned operator and investor of startup businesses, Lee specializes in how to drive revenue and improve scalability through the power of data and technology. A leading practitioner of brand tech for amazing customer experience, Lee is a popular public speaker on marketing, big data, people transformation, entrepreneurship, and how to grow profitable business quickly. He is a firm believer in using technology and innovation to drive modern organizations, speaking around the world in key cities such as London, Tokyo, New York, and more. Lee is currently working on his first book, which will show entrepreneurs and startups how to master data to scale their businesses. Lee Hackett, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Hey, thanks, Rosa. Great to be on.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about this interview because we have a shared passion for soccer or football.
Okay. Yeah, we do. But who's your team then?
Well, I was in London a few years ago and I became a fan of Arsenal.
I don't mind Arsenal. I'm a Liverpool fan, as probably some people will pick up from my accent.
Yes. Well, let's get into this conversation because I wanted to find out, obviously you had a prior career in professional sport of football and you had to make a transition. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So right the way through kind of school, I played football. I played at the kind of elite level, and that kind of shows in my grades at school or what I didn't get, really, because I was more interested in football. And for your audience, and I was US-based and who may not understand soccer as well as you do, but really, you know, there's no college game like there is in American football. You go straight into kind of football from school at 16 years of age, which is kind of not great, but it's the way it is. And so I went straight into playing football full-time every day and then kind of built a career, sadly not at the Premier League level, a few divisions below. But yeah, there's a lot of correlation between business and sport. And when I kind of came out of contract playing football, which was my kind of early 20s. So very early, I needed to kind of move into to get a job and move into business. One of the good things was when I was playing professional soccer, you had to go to college, you had to go to school. So it was kind of doing it the wrong way around. And luckily I studied business. So it was quite easy for me to then transition into that kind of business community, and sport helped me massively.
And did you have people that were close to you that you relied on to make those decisions? Because you didn't pick businesses on your own, I'm assuming, right? It sounds like you had influences in your life through those seasons that helped you kind of work through those life patterns. Could you talk to that a little bit? Because I think a lot of people maybe think of sports, you're traveling everywhere, you're isolated. What's that like?
Yeah, it's a great shout. I think sports is, even though it's a team game, it's extremely lonely and you are working in extreme pressure every single day, right? You have to perform every day. Whatever you do on the training field kind of decides whether you play on the game on Saturday or the Sunday. And it's such a really young age, you need mentors. And I didn't know it at the time, right? Because, you know, I wasn't sitting there thinking this individual is a great mentor, because I'm just too young, too naive. Mm-hmm. But looking back now, yeah, there were some major mentors, coaches that had a huge impact on kind of my attitude to a lot of different things. And you have to be coachable, right? You have to be coachable in sport. And that was one of the big lessons. So yeah, I had some huge influences in my career, early career.
It sounds like you were humble enough to take that coaching. Even like you said, being so young, you didn't really know that that's what was actually happening, but people were taking a liking to you and investing into your growth. And it sounds like you received it well and applied it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I wouldn't classify myself as being humble at the time, right? I think it's because you hear a lot of things and it's kind of like feedback in sports is often like a fire hose, right? It's full on all of the time. And it kind of makes you really resilient because you hear in feedback every day about what you need to improve on, right? If you think about that in kind of normal circumstances, that's not replicated quite often in normal life, right? That's why sport is such a demanding, lonely, hard road. And at such a young age, at 16, it certainly made me a lot more resilient. But I think looking back now, yes, I was coachable. I could have been more coachable, but it's an important part of growing, yes.
Yeah, part of growing up is going through those teenage years where we think we know everything. And I can kind of relate to what you're saying. But hearing you describe this world of sports as lonely and having the pressure, and I mean, that's leadership. That's every business owner that has a responsibility on their shoulders to carry a team, to carry a business, and to have the vision to be able to envision themselves succeeding and the team. So talk to me a little bit about the psychology behind that, because even though you were isolated, you were able to still perform under pressure. Like, what kind of mind games helped you get through that?
Yeah, you've articulated it so well. It's exactly that, the psychology of it. I kind of think that is the best way to explain it. My son, he's 14 and he's a good soccer player, better than I was. And I've kind of explained to him, because he's at a stage of his life where he needs to kind of go all in. If he wants to build a career, he's got to go all in. And one of the things I told him recently, which I've not really shared with many people, is when I was playing football, playing soccer, pretty much every game I played, I did not want to play, right?
Wow.
And the psychology of it was, it was so tough, right? But it's a bit like business, right? It's a bit like running a business and being a leader. You kind of have to learn that that's part of the job, right? And the psychology of kind of turning it around for it to become, okay, actually the loneliness of it, making the tough decisions is part of the job, and actually it's something you want to do, right? So, and rather than it being a kind of a negative impact, it's actually sound now something I seek. I actually enjoy making the tough decisions. I enjoy the loneliness, and I enjoy the hard yards, the process, as I call it. It's an important part of it.
I love that you described it this way, because what I'm hearing is that you get comfortable with being in discomfort. And at first it might be uncomfortable, but that isolation actually helps you make better decisions because you don't have a bunch of distractions and a bunch of factors weighing in that could deviate from a better decision. I think the loneliness kind of helps you spend more time with yourself and get to know yourself. And if you're checking in regularly and figuring out, well, why did I shy away from that decision? Or why did I do this? And if you're having that curiosity, I think it does build your character to the extent that decisions do become easy and this place becomes a normal place.
Yeah, absolutely. The hard yards become what you're looking to do, right? They become what you seek. So in a lot of things that I do outside of business, it's often people will say to me, why do you do these things which are so hard? And because that's actually the funnest for me. And that's took me 40-ish years to learn, right? And so I certainly didn't realize that when I was playing football, but I was able to cope with the pressure at the time because I was able to kind of make a connection between I needed to perform, this was part of the job, and it just kind of takes time to get to that position where you can reconcile with this is actually what you want it to be like. And I think that loneliness, the sacrifice that comes with that, because you do have to make a lot of sacrifices. For me, it was easy in business because of that grounding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. It does, because I see the parallel so clearly hearing you describe everything. And so now you decide that you're leaving football. Was it a natural transition in terms of, was it planned? Did it come abruptly? How did the transition come to play?
No, it was pretty abrupt. Certainly it wasn't planned. I planned to have a career long beyond, but I simply came out of contract. I wasn't able to perform at a particular level that I needed to stay at the level and get another contract. So I had the decision to make to either continue on that path and kind of find another team, and or I had a decision to go in a different direction. And to be fair, Rosie, you know, at that point, I'd played football from the six at a pretty intense level right the way through to 20. I kind of wanted a different path. And I knew I had some transferable skills, confidence, but I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And business felt like a kind of natural place to go. So it was quite an easy decision to make.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon. And if you're ready for more freedom from the day-to-day so you can properly rest, dream and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen and heard. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosapontedeleon.com. Thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed already, do yourself a favor and hit subscribe. Then head over to rosapontedeleon.com where you'll find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
Well, let's talk about self-care real quick before we get into the business side of it, because you're talking about playing at a very elite level and abusing your body every day, demanding your body to perform at that level. And at some point you've invested so much and there's got to be a period of kind of grief where you're saying, I'm kind of tired, I'm being realistic, but also I'm having a hard time letting go because I've invested so much of myself. So it's got to be like a failure and a crush to your identity at some point. What's that identity transition like for you?
For me, quite easy, right? I think one of the things that I personally are pretty good at is that I don't dwell on failures. I think that came from having to perform every day, right? I was failing all the time. So for me at that point, it was just, okay, didn't make that work, but I'm going to make something else work. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I just got on with it. I guess some people would say it's quite a hard exterior. You know, nothing seems to affect you. Everything is just keep moving forward. But it, for me, it kind of, as long as I get the basics right, as long as I'm looking after me, myself, my body, my mind, that gives me the kind of strength to keep moving forward. I can understand why for other people, I'm, you know, it's more of a challenge. But for me, it's kind of one of the things I'm pretty good at. So luckily, anyway.
You got the reps in, it sounds like.
I have got the reps failing. In. Yeah, definitely. I have got the reps in. Yeah, definitely.
Very well. So you transition now into business. And so where do you start? What did you start looking at?
Sales. Yeah. I don't know what it was at the time, but I kind of knew, you know, again, coming back to the same principles, being able to self-reflect and analyze and criticize yourself, see what you're good at, what you're not good at. That's part of sport. So being able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I need to prove here or I'm good at this. Sales just felt a natural fit for me. So I kind of started there. I knew I wanted to go and work for a big corporate because I needed training and I needed to start from the bottom. So I was extremely lucky that I kind of landed a management trainee type role in a large corporate in the UK. And that gave me a great start. But it was predominantly really focusing on sales. And even today, I'm probably a salesperson first. Yeah.
That's definitely not a common skill with everyone. So definitely a good one to hang on to. So tell me about how that helped you with regard to team building and selecting people and having a cohesive groups. Because you went right into management then. You didn't really start from the bottom. Of course, you've done it in sports. You've worked your way up. But tell me about that.
Yeah, it's funny because the business I got into, I was a manager at the age of, I think, 22, 23 with 18 months of experience. And the average age of the managers in that business was over 40 at the time, right? So I was the youngest manager ever. So building teams, huge. And I think that for me was, again, a understanding the dynamics of a team. So I'm a pretty outcome focused individual. Mm-hmm. But to get that outcome in terms of understanding the different types of people you need in that team. Mm-hmm. One of my other passions or interests is kind of outside of business is how people perform at a really high level and under extreme pressure. So special forces is, I've never been in the army. I probably couldn't exist in the special forces, but it's an interesting environment because I was a team perform in a very extreme environment. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of similarities between that and how, again, a team performs in sport. Different people, different aspects, different outlooks, but actually getting that team to work together against one outcome, one aim is definitely always my approach. And it's always about the team, not about an individual for me, always.
Yeah, I agree with you that the dynamics of human factors, whether it's in special forces, whether it's in sports, whether it's in business, we're human. And our characteristics and behaviors are very similar depending on what pressures are there, what opponents are there, and identifying the right threats is important, where you have a team that might be divisive and attacking itself, bringing them to understand that the opponent is actually the other team and we need to band together kind of helps people come together and actually realize that they have a job to do and people set their egos aside and are able to collaborate because there's a common enemy now. So I think those dynamics are definitely universal. How did you find that they were received? Because not only are you dealing with an age difference now with managers being older than you, but you also have this huge, deep background in dealing with teams. So was that appreciated at any point? How hard was it to transition into being credible?
Yeah, really hard. really hard. And I'm learning today. I think I'm getting better all of the time in terms of understanding the different dynamics of the team. I think in the early days, my approach was, this is the way, it's my way or the highway. And I'd worked in that kind of extreme environment where that's what it was. You either got with the program or you were out. It's one of the reasons why I transitioned into M&A. So mergers and acquisitions within that business, and is because my approach was almost so brutal to management, is that in an M&A environment, sometimes that's required, right? You need to go right. in, you need to get rid of people and then build new teams quickly. But over time, it was certainly, it was not sustainable. And mm-hmm. it would not work in, you know, one of the businesses that I, you know, was involved in building 3, 4, 5 years later. So it took me years of really learning the hard way and making tons of mistakes, right? In terms of just become more nuanced, more understanding people and how to get the best out of them, which I think is definitely a better approach.
Yeah, I can relate to that because I took a personality assessment once and I realized that one of my characteristics is that once I'm given a task, I'm task driven. So I forget about the people. And I'm hearing you say things like you're results oriented and you're about the team and not the individual. And those are your tendencies. But there's also a place where you need to step back and go, but the individuals matter too. Let me be patient. Let me slow down for this person and see what they need right now so that I can support them individually. And I think there's room for that always for leaders. And I think as leaders, we do well to know our own tendencies so that we can check ourselves when necessary. And it sounds like that was a growth process for you.
Absolutely massive. So if we bring that to today, one of the things that I've learned, I'm always going to have those tendencies. That's me. Mm-hmm. That's my personality. It has its upside. But mm-hmm. also what I've learned to do is put people around me who'd complement that, keep me in check. So I've got some people in the business I run now, senior people who, you know, I really respect, who say, hey, Lee, look, you know, maybe you're seeing that not through the kind of people lens, right? Maybe you're seeing that through too much of a business lens. Now, I've also had to learn to be humble. I've also had to learn to kind of listen and respect other people's opinion and to kind of take that input. But it's one of the tactics that I've used, and it works really well for me, is to have people around me that can actually then complement my skill set. Then again, that you get that kind of more high impact effect, because I'm always going to have those tendencies. That's just the reality.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think the biggest thing that I'm hearing here is that, number one, we talked about your ability to fail and fail quickly, but also surrounding yourself with the people that can point out things that you're blind to. I think every leader needs that. And you've done that, but you also listen to them and then apply what they're sharing. So sometimes that's the biggest barrier for leaders, where they might have done the right things and put the people in place, but then when they're given the feedback, they don't know how to apply it. They don't know how to take that risk with people. They don't know how to slow down and actually apply what they're being told. And it's so hard to get out of that. It's almost like they're bound to that identity of themselves, that they see themselves a certain way. They can't see themselves operating any differently. And I think you have been able to do that, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, completely that. Are you familiar with the Ray Dalio principles, the book? So that was a huge influence on me, more just from a kind of understanding of how I operate. But I'm now more obsessed about what I don't know, which mm-hmm. means I'm more engaged in asking questions of the people around me in particular, who may work for me, but I'm actually more learning more from them.
Right.
And I think within their learning from me. And I think that's just
huge.
Much more of a powerful. Yeah, it's much more powerful.
That's huge. That's a leader that has absolutely realized that I pick the right people. And if I just listen, I'm much stronger when I'm
absolutely.
Supported by the right people. And when I allow, because they want to support you, they want us all to succeed. But as a leader, we have to listen and we have to be able to understand that there's a much better place to be than to be self-reliant.
Yeah, completely. One of the big things I've learned, Rosa, as well in this area, is just to show a bit of vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
I think that is a hugely humility, showing some vulnerability. I think as a leader, you kind of think you're expected to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's what people want. But actually what I've learned is they don't, right? Is, yeah, look, someone's going to make a call. Someone's going to make a decision. But actually, it's okay to say, I don't know, but mm-hmm. I've got people around me who do. And so that collective power for me
yes.
is is what a real leader is about and what I'm trying to kind of become.
And you're providing a platform for those people to shine and to have a voice and to weigh in and to be collectively better. And I think that's a way stronger leadership position than to know it all.
Definitely. And it's a lot different than what I was doing maybe 10 years ago. And I've learned the hard way. I've lost a lot of people who were really good people that I should never have left the project or the company, that if I'd have been doing things in the way I did it now, it would have got a much better outcome. But you have to go through this experience. You have to learn it for yourself. Everybody's on a different path.
Yeah. And I think the message I'm hearing, if I can capture it all, is that for leaders that are scared to transition out of an identity crisis where they see themselves bound a certain way, you're a perfect example where it can be done. You can come out of a very rigid environment, learning a lot, having a lot of depth, but then evolving as a person into the leader that you are today. And it's worth making those mistakes along the way. And even though some of the relationships were fractured and didn't get handled as well, it was still necessary in order for you to be who you are today. And I think that courage that you're sharing is important. Would you have any final thoughts on that?
No, I would say, look, the final thought I would say on that is it's also much more sustainable. If you want to have a long career, multiple successes, particularly in today's environment, I'm a great believer in understanding the environment that you're working in. It just ain't acceptable anymore to be that kind of leader, I believe, mm-hmm. rightly so. And I think it's about getting the most out of people, but it's also personally much more sustainable for you as a leader, because right. it's kind of really, really hard being the tough guy all the time.
You can't do it alone. You need those people in there. That's what's sustainable. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lee. Where can we get a hold of you if you wanted to connect with you?
Yeah, look, LinkedIn's the best. That's the social media platform that I'm most active on. Instagram as well. But if you search my name, Lee Hackett, BPX, on LinkedIn, you're going to find me pretty easily.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lee, for your words of wisdom and for sharing your journey with us. I'm sure there's a lot of takeaways that our listeners can start to apply today. And get a hold of us. Let us know what you thought of the episode. Connect with us. We always love hearing back from you, and let us know your success stories. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thanks, Rosa.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you to the conversation. So just hit that little subscribe button on your podcast app, and don't forget to leave us a review. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using now for maximum results.